And we ended up doing sort of a last class together on what's really important in life once you realize you're going to die, like he did. And he was able to sort of say to me, this matters, this doesn't matter. You think this matters, but when you get to where I am, it's not going to.
Welcome to Cattlecast with Capital Area District Library's Executive Director, Scott Dymstra.
Welcome to an exciting episode of Cattlecast. Based on one of the best-selling memoirs of all times, Tuesdays with Maury has come to Michigan for the first time since its debut. This tender and profound play will be at the Wharton Center from August 18 to 21. And joining us today is the author and protagonist himself, Mitch Albom. Mitch, welcome to the Cattlecast.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Now, for our listeners, there's probably not many of them who have not read the book, but for our listeners who have not read the book or have not seen the film, can you tell us about Tuesdays with Maury?
Sure. So Tuesdays with Maury, the play, is the stage adaptation of the book, which came out a few years earlier. And the book is the true story of an old college professor of mine named Maury Schwartz, who I was very close with when I went to college at Brandeis University, took every class he offered. He walked around campus with him, ate meals with him. He was more like an uncle to me than a teacher. And then I graduated and, of course, intended to keep in touch and then broke that promise for 16 years while I was busy chasing my own tail and my career and my ambition and my money and all that kind of thing, which sometimes people do. And then after 16 years, one night I happened to be sitting by the television set and flicked on the Nightline program. And there on the screen was a thin, sickly looking version of my old professor. And I saw him talking to Ted Koppel about what it was like to die from Lou Gehrig's disease. And it was only through that chance flipping of the remote control that I discovered this man who I had cared about for so many years, you know, so many years earlier, was now dying. So I called him up. I went to go visit. It was supposed to be a one-time visit. One turned to two, turned to three, to four, to five, to every Tuesday that he had left in his life. And we ended up doing sort of a last class together on what's really important in life once you realize you're going to die, like he did. And he was able to sort of say to me, this matters, this doesn't matter. You think this matters, but when you get to where I am, it's not going to. And it became a really precious resource for me to guide my life. I wrote a little book to help pay his medical bills. That was the only reason I wrote the book. And next thing I knew, it went from a little book to the best-selling memoir of all time. And it changed my life forever, but apparently it changed a lot of other people's lives too.
I agree. It did. And you wrote the book. How different is it writing the play? So writing Tuesdays with Maury for the stage?
Well, in some ways it's easier because you've already done the book, and a play is dialogue. And one thing Maury and I were not short on was dialogue, because, you know, he couldn't move. And so we were sitting in a room together talking. And so the challenge was to eliminate so much of the dialogue that you don't need for a play and still manage to tell the story of how we came together, who we were separately, who we were together, while doing it all on a stage in front of people. I think in many ways, the stage play is really the closest anyone could ever come to sort of zooming in and eavesdropping on what really took place between me and Maury, even more so than the book, and definitely more so than the movie. Because the book, you have to sort of imagine what things looked like, how people sounded, how they moved. But here on a stage play, right in front of you are our two characters doing pretty much what we did. And the Maury character has to be very physically, you know, it's a challenging role because he's playing a guy who's slowly decaying from ALS. And the actor does a great job of sort of changing his body and limiting it as the play goes on. And, the dialogue is very much what went on between Maury and myself.
For the stage, it's added for you because not only do you get to see a play that you wrote being performed on stage, but you also get to see your life. So can you talk about how it feels that your story and your experiences are told on stage?
It's not that weird after a while. What was weird was the movie. I got to be honest. That was weird because the first time I saw any kind of depiction of it was when I went to the set of the movie, and Jack Lemmon, who was playing Maury, was there, and Hank Azaria was playing me, was there. and they said, you know, quiet on the set and all this. And they started talking. And every time Jack Lemmon would say, Mitch, you need the Mitch, you need the, well, Mitch, I would turn my head because I thought, you know, when you hear your own name, you always turn your head. And here they were saying the exact same things that we had said in a room that was depicted, you know, very much like the room that we were in. So that was surreal. And then watching the whole movie when it came out was surreal. And I found myself kind of shrinking in the chair and saying, oh, I would never say that, or I never did that, or I would. But after a period of time, as you're watching it, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes, you start to watch it like everybody else. And you realize it's not important if it's the true depiction of you. What's important is that it catches the message of what you were trying to say in the book. And the same thing became true in the play, because by that point I'd already gone through the movie experience and I controlled the play much more because I wrote it along with Jeffrey Hatcher. I didn't write the movie. So, I try to separate myself from it, just like I try to separate myself from the book. When people say, oh, I read Tuesdays with Maury, and they say that to me, I never say, oh, well, so then you know who I am. It's never like that. It's always like, oh, great. Well, what did Maury say that helped you? You know, like I was just the guy carrying the water for the star of the show, who is Maury.
And related to that, for people who view the play, what are you hoping they take away from it?
Well, there are many sort of hidden lessons about life in the play as there are in the book. It doesn't hit you over the head, but in the course of conversations, Maury expresses things like giving is living and taking feels like dying, or death ends a life, but not a relationship, or dying is one thing to be unhappy, you know, one thing to be sad over, but living unhappily is something else. You know, these little sort of gems of life lessons, but there'll be a lot of memorable lines that people will take home with them and think about after the play's over.
Sure. And this being a library podcast, we always kind of like to end on a fun note by you giving a recommendation. But I do have to preface that for our listeners, head on over to Mitch's website, MitchAlbum.com, all one word. That's MitchAlbum.com. He has 16 albums I could listen to forever, 15 songs I never, ever get tired of, 15 artists I never get tired of, top 7 bands, and it is an eclectic mix. And so, Mitch, would you leave something for our listeners, something that you've read, that you watched, or that you listened to that you would recommend?
Wow, okay. Read, I'll give you a real rare one, if you can find it. It's called The Royal Road to Romance, written by Richard Halliburton, who was, in the 1930s, a kid who was supposed to go to Princeton and follow his family footsteps into, you know, successful business and prominent member of society, and instead dropped out and started to travel the world and do adventures. And he recreated Hannibal's trail by riding an elephant through all those areas. He climbed the Matterhorn. He slept at the Taj Mahal. He did all these things that in the 1930s were just considered crazy, and developed this cult following amongst teenage boys as like sort of the adventurer that they all wanted to be. And then trying to do an adventure by sailing a little yak across the ocean, or a little Chinese, I forget what they're called, probably not a yak, it's some kind of boat. He disappeared and was never seen again. And it's a great book that you'll never otherwise read. Listen to Elvis Presley, The Sun Sessions. If you've seen the Elvis movie, mm-hmm. and you like the part where he's in the jumpsuit and all that, you need to go back and listen to what he was like when he was just raw and before Colonel Parker got his hooks into him and changed him, as that movie depicts. Every song on there is just, you know, you can hear the raw energy of Elvis Presley. And Scene was the last one, Scene.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I would say if you haven't watched the series Tehran,
I love that one. Oh my gosh.
Oh, I'm right. I'm in the middle of season two, and I it's one of those things that I just don't allow myself to watch more than one at a time, because I don't want it to be over. Yeah. And that's really good. So it's an Israeli produced series, but really shows kind of the conflict between you know, the Mossad and Iran and all that. It's terrific.
I will second that one. It's on Apple TV and it is phenomenal. As Mitch said, you cannot stop, but at times you have to, otherwise you will watch both seasons in sitting. So
exactly.
Well, Mitch, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Check out Tuesdays with Maury at the Wharton Center. Again, that's August 18th through the 21st. And a link for tickets are provided in the show notes. Thanks for joining us on CattleCast.
Don't miss another great interview. Subscribe to the CattleCast podcast and share it with a friend.
Hey, it's Dee Dee in the Morning with Dee Dee's weekly download from Capital Area District Libraries. This week's title is Creatures of Passage by Maroa Ishide. Featuring a Washington, D.C. cabbie with a ghost in her trunk, this thrilling and beautifully written story is a mixture of folklore and real-life horror. To stream or download this or other featured titles, just visit cadl.org/Dee.
Stacks 92.1.